Welcome one, welcome all to the Snail Trail 4x4 podcast. If you like going off-roading in Toyotas, wrenching in Toyotas, camping in Toyotas, and maybe even poking a little bit of fun at Toyotas, and of course, hearing about how Toyotas continue to fall out of the race for off-road vehicles, then this is the podcast for you. That's right, ladies and germs, my name is Tyler, and joining me in the Snail Trail studio for the best off-road mascot ever is the one and only Mr. Jimothy Jet. Jimothy, this is episode 208. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. Did you just make me an off-road mascot?
Did I? Maybe. Possibly. If I did, then hey, cool.
I would be like, I don't know if I'm the best.
You're very recognizable off-roading.
Apparently.
You're like a B-list celebrity. You're like moving up to B+.
I don't know about that.
There was requests for you at Rubathon, and they were like, who are you? And I was like, I'm Tyler. And they're like, yeah, I don't know who you are. Where's Jimmy? I was like, dang it, come on.
That's funny. Yeah, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Thank you. How are you?
Doing pretty well. How was your weekend?
It was good. Mm-hmm. We had a good time. You know, we're just basking in the sun, laying out on the beach, mm-hmm. relaxing, having some Mai Tais and pina coladas.
That's right. Are you still in Belize?
I am.
Nice. I'm glad you're having a good time over there, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
How was your flight?
No. You know, once not, I got to sit next to the assistant, everything went smooth.
Okay, fair. I'm so glad that you're quick on the fly like that. You see what I did there?
Yes.
Anyways, no, we are obviously recording this a little bit ahead of schedule because Jimmy is in Belize right now as you're listening to this episode. So I think it's going to be a fun episode. There's been a couple of big announcements in the off-road industry here that surprisingly I haven't seen all over social media.
Yeah, there hasn't been much talk about it.
Yeah, so it kind of squeezed its way through. Somebody texted it to us. I forget who it was, sorry. But they texted to us and I was like, oh, interesting. But I haven't really seen a ton of mention. It didn't go viral.
No.
So we'll see how that goes. We'll get to that in today's campfire discussion. But for now, we have some reviews going on. Sorry, not reviews. We have some giveaways going on.
Can I just say that I think that we should have a campfire stout with every campfire discussion?
Oh my God, yes.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes. My uncle brought me a campfire stout at Rubathon.
Nice.
And then I forgot to bring it on the trip.
Yeah. If people can stop sending me the Coke and coffees and just start sending me campfire stouts, now we'll be talking.
Are you getting a lot of Coke and coffee vanilla ones?
I haven't gotten any recently. You know, I believe it was Tim sent me the case, and Hustle Nuts brought me a few cases from his Sand Hollow trip.
Gotcha.
otherwise, I haven't gotten any.
But I gave you one.
You did give me one.
One can. Yeah.
And somebody else bought me one not too long ago either, but there I only drink, I like have one a week, you know, so it's like this supply is going to last me forever.
That's funny. We have been getting a lot of pictures of them though. People are like, are these what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I just go like, are you guys taking a photo of it? Or are you actually trying it?
Yeah.
You know,
it's a good question.
Somebody also is like, why are you promoting Coke? It's like, well, just something I had. And I thought it was interesting. It's like, if I saw, you know, a Jack and Coke, I probably would promote that too.
Mm-hmm. Just like I promote Screwball and Fireball mixed together.
Yeah, there you go.
So cinnamon, peanut butter, whiskey.
We're just weird people.
Yep.
I'm like, should I not promote Coke? Should I promote Pepsi?
Why would you call the new Dodge truck a T-Rex, Jimmy? That's not the name.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I think they're kind of like, America's already obese enough. Don't promote things to make them more obese.
Yeah, everything in balance, though.
Yeah, that's live your life in moderation.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Except for wheeling times.
Wheeling times and spending money on axles, apparently. There you go. What was the whole synopsis of episode 206, I believe it was?
Yeah, last Mondays.
Last Mondays.
I was like, Tyler, I'm going to buy new axles. Jimmy, why? Tyler, because I want to. Jimmy, okay.
Yeah, it's Tyler. I'm going to spend a lot of money on axles. You're like, why would you do that? Because I can. Okay. There you go.
There, an hour and a half. So now you don't need to listen to 206.
Nope. Oh, man. So, cool. This is episode 208. Which means it's Monday coming into your ear holes with some fun stuff. We have the giveaways going on. This month is Tool Month. We have at least, I believe we're going to have at least three, maybe four winners for tools during Tool Month here.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're still putting together the kits to explain kind of exactly what's going to be in all those. But we are going to have a nice plethora of winners in order to get in for Tool Month for this giveaway. You got to be signed up over on Patreon and the giveaway tier before the end of the month. So July 31st at midnight is your cutoff. Right now, I think we have, what was it? 50? No, we have something like 70, 75, 80 people, something like that in the giveaway tier right now. So if we have three to four winners, you guys can calculate your odds from that.
Yes. We do currently have a giveaway going on Instagram mm-hmm. right now. You can go and check out Snail Trail 4x4. Post on the Gear Wrench photo that is up there and tag two friends and you'll be entered to win one of the 90 tooths, either nice. An SAE or a metric version. What are they, 14 piece or 16 piece?
Mm-hmm.
90 tooth set. We do have that going on this week.
Nice.
And we'll have more coming on the rest of this month along with the Patreon giveaways.
Very cool. I like it. Tool month is fun.
Tool month is fun. Definitely.
You also have some tool jokes for everybody. So pay attention to those after each episode.
Yes. And we're not talking about third members.
No. Giggle. Anyways, or giggle pin.
Is it correct? Not those either.
Not those either. Okay. What are some other tools and equipment?
I don't know. Sawzall.
We'll have to come up with some. Sawzall?
A drill?
Shaft? A beefy shaft?
There you go.
Anyways.
A breaker bar?
A breaker bar, maybe? All right, cool. So those are some of the giveaways going on. We have the Instagram one going on, and then we've got the Patreon giveaway, as always, this month. And we'll let you guys know what next month is going to be when we get closer to next month. We're going to announce the winner of June, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, once Jimmy is back from his little honeymooning vacation here. So we'll get that out to you guys. It's going to be a little bit late, but, you know, I think that we can give Jimothy a pass here.
Yeah, that or you could do it.
I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to operate Instagram.
No. You've been busting out reels, man. I've seen them.
Okay, maybe. I don't know. Those are all videos from Hussman, pretty much.
No, yeah. Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Well, in the scheme of things, I think you're going to have to record a Thursday or Monday episode without me, so...
Yeah.
If you choose to take on that endeavor, you have the opportunity to.
I don't know if I can do that.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, maybe I'll pull somebody in here and like give them a fun t-shirt and say, you get to be Jimmy today.
Yeah.
And say,
by the way, you need to run Instagram.
And you need to run Instagram. Yeah. Oh, man. All right, cool. So we got that. Of course, we always have the reviews going on over on iTunes. So go over and leave us a review, because if you do, then you will get a crisp and clean high five from me or Jimmy when we see you out on the trails.
High five!
And sometimes Borat, depending on where we are and how much drinking we've been doing.
Yeah, definitely.
So, if you go and leave us a review over on iTunes, we are going to be entering all those reviews, the people that leave them, into a big drawing once we reach 500. So we will pick one winner only, from those reviews to win a winch.
Yes.
Which is going to be pretty freaking cool.
It is.
Yep.
I'm jealous.
Yep.
I want it.
You already have three. Get out of here. You're hoarding all the winches right now.
I know. I need to install them.
I know, right? We have that going on. So make sure you go over and get a review done before we get to 500, because if you're number 501, you do not get anything.
And don't wait, even though we're at like 265-ish, mm-hmm. somewhere in that range, you know, it's, we're steadily growing. So mm-hmm. don't wait, because within a matter of months, maybe 6 months, we're definitely going to be hitting that mark.
I think we will too. Yeah, we're, and also we'll be hitting different milestones. yep. and offering swag packs at those milestones like we did for 250.
Yeah.
So pay attention to those. We may or may not do one for 300. We'll see. So go check out the reviews on iTunes. Leave us one. Leave it as many stars as you want. One or five stars. We'll love you no matter what, even if you hate us, because that's what we do. We're lovers. I mean, we're not lovers, but we love our listeners. Yeah. That's right. I went there, Jimmy.
Cut that out. Can't tell everybody our secrets.
Oh, sorry. Don't tell the assistant. You might be set up for a divorce soon.
She knows.
Okay, good. Oh, man. So I think that about does it. We'll keep the reviews. I can't talk today. No. We'll keep the
You need updates. To finish that. What is that?
I think that's a problem. Why I can't. I'm talking faster than I can think.
Oh, because you're almost finished with this large Rebel.
There's a coconut. Lot of caffeine in there. What strawberry is, mango coconut.
Strawberry mango coconut.
It's like I'm down in Belize with you.
When I ordered that, the little girl was like, ooh, that sounds good.
And supposedly then, it has a name, something about a rainbow. Oh, like a sparkly rainbow. I don't know.
No wonder you're making me order it.
That's right.
Yeah. And then I leaned over and I was like, can I, what's that one with the soft top that, you know, over there? And she's like, oh, that's this pineapple coconut thing. And I was like, well, that sounds really interesting in a coffee. Sure. I'll try that. And then the guy runs the coffee is out to me and they're both Rebels. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. So
it's essentially, it looks kind of like a pina colada.
It is. It tastes like a pina colada, which is what I'm drinking right now.
Perfect.
Right as when this episode came out.
Time traveling is fun. Oh, man. Okay.
Okay.
Any other updates?
No, I don't think so. I think let's jump into the campfire discussion.
Sounds good. Go ahead and grab your favorite pina colada or sparkly rainbow drinks, and we'll be right on back with today's campfire discussions.
Yay, Dutch Bros.
This podcast is not sponsored by Dutch Bros.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Maybe next one.
Welcome back, ladies and germs. This is the campfire discussion for episode 208. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome, studio audience in the new studio.
I heard, already off topic, I heard Jason stopped by the studio.
He did. He picked up his and the Barbie Jeep's shifter knobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he checked out the ball lamp. Are we going to call that the ball lamp? What would we call that? The knuckleball lamp?
Knuckle lamp?
Should be knuckle lamp? Knuckle broken? Knuckle broken toilet
Burfield.
Lamp?
Burfield? No, it's not a Burfield. Knuckle.
It's a knuckle. Ball. Knuckleball lamp.
Knuckleball lamp.
The KBL.
The Sherpa lamp.
There we go.
The Schlamp.
The Schlamp. We have the Schlamp here in the studio that Jason checked out, and other stuff too. So we have some more goodies coming to the studio, just FYI.
Oh, do we?
Beer, sweet. Beer Andy is donating something.
Oh, nice.
And I found somebody with a really cool gift to hang up on the wall from Rubathon.
Oh, nice.
So he's going to be shipping it to us.
Is it some carnage?
It is some carnage, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
We should put up the doors on Kermit. I've got a fender.
You have a fender? Yeah, that's true.
That Hussmull Nuts drove into Windchill 3 on Bobcat.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
That's why Bobcat has a one black fender.
I was going to say, Hussmull Nuts is the reason why Bobcat lost a fender. Mm-hmm. And he's going to be the reason why Kermit is going to be losing two of his doors.
Right.
I think there's a theme here.
There is definitely an instigator theme here. However, when Bobcat lost or got crunched his fender, Hussmull Nuts was driving.
Oh.
And I was outside videoing or taking photos or something.
Well, he was spotting me. Does that count?
Yeah, it's one of the same.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So then you destroyed my passenger side and he destroyed my driver's side.
I destroyed?
Yeah, you were spotting me up Hell's Gate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you got like 3 scratches. I know, right? But I'll accept it.
Okay, cool. That was funny. The meme that Rough Stuff posted shortly after we got back from Moab.
I don't recall.
It was the Muppet that had like the
the shifty looking eyes. Yeah. And it said, when the person you're spotting ends up rolling over,
yeah,
rolling their rig, I tagged you. I was like, Jimmy.
Anyways, back on topic.
What are we doing today?
I don't know. We're talking about a really cool rig that just came out. Did I just admit that? We're talking about a rig that just came out, which is going to be completely off the like rockers for us, because mm-hmm. we're going to complement something that we would probably never actually admit that we like its stats.
I don't know, because I've admitted that I like the 4XE version. Okay.
You just ruined what I was trying to hint at.
Continue.
But yeah, this new Jeep.
Yeah.
There's a new Jeep is released.
New Heap coming out.
And it is beating the Bronco.
Yeah, which is pretty fun, because one of the big things about the Bronco was they really, really, really went after the Wrangler Rubicon mm-hmm. with the new Bronco. They built better crawl ratios into the automatic. They built better engine stats from a smaller engine
right.
than the Jeep, than that Pentastar engine in the Jeep. They built better approach, departure, and breakover angles in the top model than the Wrangler Rubicons. I'm comparing the top model to top model here.
Yeah.
And the day that the Bronco was announced, Jeep introduced the 392.
Yes.
Which was the V8 model, right?
Correct.
And that one kind of made a yeah. little bit of a splash, but not nearly as much. It totally got overshadowed by the Bronco.
Sure. It was like, it's the same thing, but a bigger motor.
Exactly. Pretty yeah. much.
But you could have this rig that has all these other great stats, mm-hmm. which is the Bronco. Yeah.
So now, four days ago is when all the articles started popping up on the internet. And we're going to be going over two articles, one from Fox News and one from Motor Trend, about the new Wrangler Extreme Recon.
Cool.
So
I wonder if it has any relation to Trail Recon.
I don't know. Possibly. I know that he's super into his Jeeps, right? Yeah. And I know that he's done some work with Jeep
yep.
in the past. So I don't know. That's a good question. But what's interesting about this is,
maybe we need to get Brad on here.
That'd be really cool. Except I don't think he drives any Toyotas at all.
No.
No,
I doubt it.
We can talk about other stuff.
Yeah.
So, this is really interesting because, you know, obviously Bronco Ford went after the Wrangler Rubicon, 100%.
Absolutely.
They're going after that market with the Bronco, and, with hints of a Raptor Bronco coming out.
Wow.
Which could be interesting. That'd if be they're going to do something crazy. Similar to, you know, what the Raptor Ranger is looking mm-hmm. at. Jeep said, "Ha, you think you're so cool beating all of our stats. We're going to one up you."
Yep.
So just like we kind of talked about a few episodes ago where we were talking about the Nissan Frontier, the new 2022 Raptor coming out, and the Dodge T-Rex coming out, or that's out, and then the F-150 Lightning. Mm-hmm. And we kind of got caught up a little bit in the Raptor and T-Rex battle.
Yes.
And we were like, we really like the way competition really pushes the market forward, right?
Absolutely. Because these two big industries, big mm-hmm. players are battling to mm-hmm. have like the coolest, fast truck out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, like desert racing truck in a way out there. It's pushing the bounds of the just general market.
Yeah.
You know, like a consumer can go out and buy a badass rig right off the shop floor and go out
consumer,
and play.
Yeah, a consumer can come up, write a check, pay credit, whatever it is, for a Baja chase truck almost.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, within reason.
Within reason, know? Yeah. But,
yeah, absolutely. And so then the Bronco came out and it mm-hmm. beat everybody's stats on off-roading for the most part. And, you know, now every other corporation out there is playing catch-up.
Uh-huh.
And what it's doing is it's the Bronco one-upped everybody. And now everybody is trying to one-up the Bronco. And so it's just this game of chutes and ladders where you're just trying to climb and climb and climb.
Yes.
You know, and it's really pushing the industry and making some really cool rigs come out.
I agree. 100%. So let's talk a little bit about this new Rubicon. Well, let's talk a little bit about the stats of the Bronco first.
Okay.
So what are the quote-unquote best-in-class for an off-roading SUV stats? What are those stats that classify it
for best in class.
Mm-hmm.
What are the stats? So they are approach and departure angles.
Mm-hmm.
Is belly height one?
Water
ingress.
Belly clearance. Height is more of your breakover angle.
Okay.
So breakover angle, which breakover goes into wheelbase and belly height combination.
Yep. Okay. So approach and departure breakover angle.
Mm-hmm. Water fording is one.
Water fording.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Are there any others?
Ground clearance. So what's the lowest hanging fruit on the vehicle?
Okay.
Crawl ratio.
Yes.
So who can get the lowest crawl ratio?
Okay.
And the tires and lift from the factory.
Okay. So what is the biggest tires and lift combo that comes on the vehicle stock?
Mm-hmm. So what's your suspension lift and how big of tires can you stuff under from the factory stock?
Okay.
So those are it. I think that.
And so can we go over what the Bronco has?
Yes.
So what the Bronco is.
So the Bronco came in.
And this is with the Sasquatch package that, you know, these are all the bells and whistles on the Bronco, whatever those are.
The top tier packages. Yeah. So the Bronco comes in with 11.6 inches of ground clearance.
Okay. So that must be under the diff.
Mm-hmm. Under the diff. The approach angle is 43.2 degrees.
Okay.
The breakover angle is 26.3. That's your belly pan and wheelbase combination. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's off of the two-door or the four-door. So that would be a good thing to figure out if that breakover angle, or sorry,
yeah.
Breakover
is off the two or four-door. Which actual rig they're using for this.
Mm-hmm. And then 37 degrees on the departure angle. So I think that the Tacoma and the Ranger and the Gladiator all had like a departure angle of like 26, 27 degrees, something like that.
Yeah.
And then they were in like the low to maybe mid 30s on the approach angle. And then the breakover angles were terrible because they're just such long vehicles, right? So the Bronco came in and was like, bam. Those are all of our angles and what we're going to be doing.
Yeah. And it beat the Wrangler.
Mm-hmm. It beat the Wrangler and all of them. Yep. Right out the gate. The fording water is 33 and a half inches, 33.5 on the Bronco.
That's pretty good.
So you can take a Bronco through 33 and
almost
a half.
3 feet.
Yes.
Almost three feet tall water.
Yep.
It's pretty decent.
Uh-huh. The Bronco is going to be coming with 35s.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sasquatch Badlands package. And you can shove 37s on it from the factory. I mean, without any modifications, just bolt some 37s right onto your wheel studs. And the crawl ratio was really the interesting one for the Bronco because that manual transmission crawl ratio, it had that granny gear,
right,
that you can go into, the underdrive that you could go into with the manual transmission. So with the manual transmission, the axle ratios and everything, the Bronco got to, it was like, I want to say it was like 98 to 1, 95 to 1, 96 to 1.
Sure.
Somewhere right in that range. So
yeah. Which the Jeep's at like 90.
Yeah, the Jeep is at, I want to say stock. The stock Rubicons come with their 410 axle ratios and the transmission, everything. It gets them to about like 88, 89, right around 90, like you said. So the Bronco came out and said, we're going to have better approach angles, departure angles, breakover angles, better water fording height, better crawl ratio, stock from the factory, ready to go.
Right.
And in a smaller engine package, that 2.7 liter twin turbo, which is supposed to push 300 horsepower and 320, 340 foot pounds of torque, something like that.
Right. Plus they have the goat.
Plus they have the goat. Yeah. The goat anywhere, go over any terrain.
Yeah. Greatest of all time.
Yeah. So Bronco came in and they were like, Ford was like, yeah, this is what we got. Let's see what you guys can do.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeep comes back and answers
with this new rig,
with a new trim line, a new trim model.
Yes.
Called the Extreme Recon Package.
Nice.
So apparently you can put the Extreme Recon Package on a regular Wrangler Rubicon, or you can put it on the 392 Rubicon.
What? Oh.
Which is the V8.
The V8. Yeah. Got it.
So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. So you can essentially get a V8 Extreme Rubicon.
Wow.
would be interesting. But let's just see here what Jeep decided to do.
Okay.
So now that Bronco kind of claimed all of the best in class statistics, Jeep comes back and claimed them all right back.
Nope. This is ours.
This is our realm, unfortunately. So Jeep came in and with the Extreme Recon Package, here's what you're going to be getting.
Okay. I'm ready.
You're going to be getting a 1.5-inch lift kit.
Wow.
Which is going to be, you know, we kind of made fun about the Tacoma doing the 1.5-inch lift kit because it wasn't really a 1.5-inch lift kit like this is going to be. It was more like a leveling kit. But this one's going to come with 35-inch tires stock from the factory.
Okay.
On 17x8 wheels that are beadlock ready.
Oh, interesting.
So they're not going to come with beadlocks on them like some of the Bronco packages are going to come with. But they're going to be beadlock ready from the factory. The axle, the diff ratio that's coming stock in the vehicle is going to be 456s.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. And there's going to be an option to up it to 488s.
Wow. From factory.
From the factory.
Okay.
So 488s from the factory in the Rubicon.
Sounds like they're getting ready for those 37s.
They're getting ready, I think, for the 37s. So the tire abilities, they're going to be about the same.
Yeah.
You're going to come 35s stock on the vehicle from the factory, but you're going to be able to put 37s on without any modifications.
Yeah. Just bolt them up.
Yep. The crawl ratios.
Mm-hmm.
So the Ford, the Bronco is about, like we said, 95, 98, somewhere in that range. The final crawl ratio for the Wrangler, that Extreme Recon package,
okay,
is going to be 100:1.
100, well, exactly 100?
Exactly 100.
Nice. So one. Just barely outdoes it. And they only really did that by changing the diff.
Yep. They just changed the diff.
And if you go to the 488s, it'll be a little bit more.
Well, that is with the 488s.
Oh, that is with the 488s.
Yep, that's the 488 package.
All right. So if you have the 456s, you're probably still, you're under it.
You're just under the Bronco, barely.
Yeah.
The 456 package brings you to 94:1.
Okay.
Yep. So, in the automatic transmission, with the 456s stock from the factory, you're going to get 86:1 and 94:1 with the manual, the 6-speed manual. Okay. With the 488s, you're going to be looking at a 100:1 with the manual and 92:1 with the automatic.
Got it.
So that's with the 488s.
All right. Package. So they just outdid the Bronco.
Just outdid the Bronco on the crawl ratios. Matched the tires.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to come with beadlocks from the factory.
Nope.
But
they're beadlock ready.
They're beadlock ready.
So they have the holes. Mm-hmm. Is really what it is.
Yep. They're holy.
They're holy.
Let's move on to the ground clearance.
Okay.
So the Bronco was at 11.6 inches ground clearance. The Wrangler Extreme Recon is going to be 12.9.
Wow.
So they not just beat that one, they beat it good.
Yeah, they did.
So you're going to get an extra...
Over an inch.
Almost an inch and a half.
Yeah.
Of extra clearance from the Wrangler crazy. Extreme Recon.
I wonder, are they running a smaller diff?
That's a good question. I'm not sure what the limiting factor is there that brings the Bronco down so much further.
I wonder what the ring and pinion size of a 484 is compared. I'm assuming that the Bronco is running a 9-inch.
I would assume that in the rear. I'm not sure which No, I think they're running some Advantech 44 axles in the rear, some Dana 44s.
Oh, are they?
In the rear, because okay. Dana's making the rear axle for the Bronco, but they're doing an IFS setup in the front. So I'm right. not sure what the ring and pinion size is in the front.
So better housings, I guess, huh?
Better housings, just a little bit better ground clearance. So yeah, the 11.6 to 12.9, an inch and a half almost.
Wow.
Yeah. The next one coming up is the water fording.
Okay.
So the Bronco was at 33.5 inches.
Yep.
The Wrangler Extreme Recon, 33.6 inches.
No, 0.1 inch.
So 1/10 of an inch.
Yeah.
Is the claim. So
they really inflated the tires.
That's what I was just going to say. They inflate. They just ran. They're putting 50 PSI instead of 40 PSI right. in the tires. So yeah, that's a, it's that one. I'm like, okay, whatever.
Yeah,
you null. Just did that. Yeah. Now the breakover, departure and approach angles.
Yes.
Are interesting. So the approach angle of the Bronco was 43.2 degrees.
Okay.
The breakover, the approach angle of the Recon Edition is going to be 47.4.
Wow.
So you're going to gain 2.2 degrees better approach angle out of that. And I think that a lot of that comes down to just that stubby bumper.
Sure.
That all the Wranglers have. Yeah. So that's it's just iconic, and that's why they do it.
Yes. And I mean, that makes sense, but also it's fair. It's a little easier to push a link suspension forward than an IFS suspension forward.
True.
So, and I don't know if the suspension pack is actually moving that axle farther forward, you know, or if they're just making that working with the stubby bumper.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think that there's, you know, their advantage to goes to the Rubicon or the Wrangler, you know, because just the way that they have their front end set up there.
I think it's just that front end setup, and then adding that extra inch and a half of lift in the suspension, it gives them that extra 2.2 degrees of approach angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's true. The lift helps.
Mm-hmm. The breakover ankle, the angle of the Bronco was 26.3 degrees.
Okay.
So that is from your tires to your belly pan in the middle of the vehicle, right?
Oh, the breakover angle.
Breakover angle. The Wrangler Extreme Recon, 26.7. So less than a half a degree.
Wow.
And the Wrangler wins that one.
I wonder what pack. I wonder if there is a two-door. There's got to be a two-door Wrangler also. I wonder if those are what they're comparing.
That's what I'm wondering. I want to know whether these are two-door or four-door options on that breakover angle. The last one is the departure angle.
Okay.
The Bronco had 37-degree departure angle. The Wrangler Recon is going to have 40.4.
Wow.
So
a lot better.
Almost 3.5 degrees.
Dang.
Better on the departure.
Yeah.
Which means if you're coming off a lot of ledges, the Wrangler is going to be a better option, the Recon, because you're going to smash your bumper a lot
less. What was the front of the Wrangler?
The front of the Wrangler the approach was 47.4.
So they have a better approach angle than departure?
Yep.
But it's the opposite for the Bronco, right?
Nope. The Bronco also has a better approach than departure. They're fairly close, 43 and 37.
Okay.
The Jeep, the Wrangler Recon has a 47 and 40 respectively on those. So yeah.
Wow. Way to go, Jeep.
I hate to say it, but good job, Jeep.
Yeah.
This is pretty cool.
What is cool about it is that, I mean, like we just sort of hinted at before we started talking, is that Jeep is coming back, right? They're they're coming to the fight.
Yes.
You know, and they're not backing down by any means, you know? And so, you know, the next level is, okay, who's going to come up with another? Is it going to be Ford? Is it going to be, you know, Jeep? Are they going to be coming, you know, who's going to bring the next game? Is Toyota going to come and play? I doubt it because of reputation.
I think Suzuki is going to come and relaunch the Samurai with 40s.
I like that idea.
Yes.
It's going to need some one tons under it. Some Toyota one tons.
Toyota, some 8.2 axles under there.
There you go. But I really like the fact that Jeep retaliated, you know, and came back and fought, you know, and is like, all right, well, we can do very minor modifications to our vehicle and beat your stats.
Yes.
Right out of the gate.
That's what I love too. They've kind of gone a little bit unchallenged. in the quote unquote extreme off-roading from the factory segments for a very long time. It's been pretty much, in my opinion, since the FJ80. I think the FJ Cruiser was supposed to go after some of the Wranglers, but it just didn't make it because it's too big and bulky.
Absolutely.
I don't think the Wrangler has had stiff competition since the FJ80.
No.
And so...
Yeah, and I wouldn't even... When the FJ80 came out, I would say that most of the people bought it as a luxury vehicle and weren't looking at it as an off-road capable, you know, rock crawler.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I still argue that some people don't, you know, a lot of people don't see it that way, even though it's absolutely amazing and does really good. It is bigger. It is bulkier, you know, but with the little modifications, you can fit some 37s under there and, you know, it can be triple locked. It's got all these bells and whistles that are really nice.
Yeah.
But I don't think I would even go back and say that it wasn't until they stopped making the FJ40. That was the last competition for Jeep.
You think that was the last competition?
Because when the 55, nobody bought the 55, but then the 60 came out.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a nice big vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think that, you know, I think once the FJ40 was stopped being sold, you know, that, you know, a lot of people didn't look at Toyota for that. Unless you argue that the mini truck series, but...
That's a different segment. That's a small truck series kind of thing. And those really didn't become super popular in the extreme off-roading world until Marlin invented the dual cases.
Yeah, for the most part.
And once Marlin invented the dual cases, then mini trucks exploded.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, Jeep hasn't had a lot of competition in this segment ever.
No.
And so it's really neat to see what they do once you have competition in this segment.
It'll be interesting to see the next level. What is it, you know?
So that's a good question. What is the next level? So this is one thing that we started talking about. We were like, man, what is that next level?
Yeah.
Like, who's going to come out with it? What are the stats going to be? What are they prioritizing the correct stats, or should they be looking at different stats? You know, what is that next level, and what do we think the manufacturers are going to be going after, and what do we think they should go after?
Sure. Absolutely. I know that we are kind of very mildly talking about this beforehand and we're like, stop.
We need to hit the
record button.
The big red button on the board.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and so I think they're pretty good stats. I mean, categories that they're talking about. I mean, those are, you know, belly height, approach and departure angles, breakover angles are all really important things for off-roading, you know, crawl ratios. You know, what is the torques, you know? I think
how many torques can you put in a vehicle?
Yeah. How many squirrels?
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, is there any other ones that need to be added?
That's a really good question. I think there definitely is.
Yeah?
I do.
Okay.
So if you look at the off-road market right now, the aftermarket off-road market.
Sure.
I said that right. the aftermarket place is going more towards lower center of gravities, right? Where you can get the center of gravity of the vehicle lower, but still maintain a shit ton of articulation in your suspension.
Okay.
Being able to articulate your suspension or be able to maintain traction through crazy obstacles. That's what the aftermarket is going after. And the technology has come leaps and bounds since Jeep had any competition, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, when Jeep had competition, if we go off of the FJ40, everything was leaf sprung and super narrow axles. And, you know, once the mini truck came around, the goal was we want big breakover angles.
Yeah.
And so you build a really tall vehicle, so you get these big breakover angles, right? You don't necessarily want big breakover angles anymore. We're finding ways to design and develop suspensions so you don't need big breakover angles. You get a lot of wheel travel down. You get a lot of articulation. You get a lot of up travel. So I think that adding in the kind of the stats that they're looking at, but not necessarily depending on them. I think that articulation and the ability for a suspension to travel and articulate so you maintain traction is a big, big part of what the manufacturers should be looking at and the stats that should go into this category.
Interesting. I think I like that. I think that, you know, it would I think then the Bronco would fail miserably.
I think so too, because it's IFS and not solid axle.
They wouldn't get, however they measure it, you know, whether it's lifting opposite corners and figuring out when a tire starts to come off the ground and how high did you lift those, you know, before that happened, you know, or just an RTI ramp or something. Yeah, at that, the Bronco, because it's IFS, would not be able to, it wouldn't get anywhere near what that Jeep's going to get.
I agree. And so the next question, because I think for down travel, absolutely. I don't know about up travel though. I think there's different things that go into up travel, and that's really what IFS is about, right? Going fast,
right?
Going faster and having comfort while going faster. Comfort. Yeah. And be able to get comfort while you're going faster. You need your suspension to absorb bumps, which is up travel.
Correct.
So I would be interested to see the up travel stats on the Bronco's IFS a suspension setup versus the Jeep's solid axle setup.
Sure. It, I wonder if they make like a speed course with bumps and like how many G's does the vehicle get to go across that washboard or whatever.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I don't know the stats. I don't know if the Jeep would beat the Bronco. It very well might, but I think that would be an interesting stat to see. So that, I like the stat of tire size. It just seems like, you know, with the aftermarket vehicles in the off-road industry going to bigger and bigger and bigger tires, it means people are digging bigger and bigger holes on trails.
True.
So 35s are getting stuck now. I mean, you can barely run Fordyce right now on 35s.
Yes.
You really need like 37s or bigger now to do Fordyce. And so the Rubicon, yeah, you can do it on 33s, but they put a lot of maintenance into that trail to make sure that people can do it on 33s and you can go and experience the Rubicon, right? There's other parts of the trail that you definitely need 40s or 42s to get through without too much body damage. Ask me how I know. And you can get through a lot of the Rubicon just fine. But like, I think tire size is a big indicator to what your suspension can do.
Sure. Well, I think tire size almost could be a limiter of what your suspension can do.
That too.
Right. Uh-huh. And that, what I dislike is what they talk about is like, come stock from the factory with 35s, but you can put 37s on with no modifications. Well,
why not just give me
37s? Why not just give me 37s then?
I have an idea as to why that's the case.
There's some DOT approved scenario.
I think it's smog laws.
Really?
Yeah, because you have to be able, whatever vehicles you put out from a factory, you have to be able to stay within certain smog output regulations.
Okay.
And my guess is by going up to 37s, they would surpass those smog regulations and they're just barely eking under it at 35s.
In regards to the output coming, what's coming out of the tailpipe? Because I do know that there's also a law on how high your tailpipe can be off the ground.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's a range between, I don't know what it is, but let's say it's, you know, 24 inches off the ground to like 5 feet off the ground. Your tailpipe can't go out in that range.
Gotcha.
Right? Because they don't want you coming up to a street light and having it dump right into somebody's window.
That's true.
Yeah. You know, so I was thinking that maybe there was an issue there. There's also a headlight law.
I knew that one.
Height of your headlights that, you know, you can't be too have the headlights too high. Mm-hmm. And maybe 37s make that push that boundary. Maybe. I don't know. So maybe there is some laws and regulations that if it, you know, if we put bigger tires on that we're surpassing these rules. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. I still don't understand how the FJ Cruiser has the lights on the mirrors.
On the mirrors, yeah.
Yeah, that's technically, from what I understand, that by how I read the law, that's not legal. Any headlights above the headlights need to be covered while you drive on the road. And those are, maybe they don't make enough lumens. I don't know.
Maybe.
But yeah, I just think it's funny. They're like, no, but 35s, but you can add 37s.
Yeah.
It's like, well, why don't you just put 37s on there and say, with slight modifications, you can add 40s.
Yeah, right.
You know, like, I'd rather have that than, you know, it's like, well, what's the purpose of not putting the 37s on? That's, I guess, kind of my question.
That's a good question.
Can you put them on there, but your suspension doesn't work fully?
Maybe. Like, I don't know.
I mean, you don't need to modify it to fit the 37s on there, mm-hmm. but you, is your vehicle not working right because mm-hmm. you just added the 37s?
Maybe.
You know, is your suspension not fully articulating and you're bottoming out? You know, I don't know.
That's a good question. I think especially with the Recon package coming with 488 gears, they can handle 37s just fine.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a good question. Why don't they just go to 37s? Mm-hmm. So if you were doing one of these vehicles and you were the project lead on them, you would just say, hey, if we're going to compete, let's compete and let's put some 37s on from the factory.
Yeah, I would definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, unless there's a reason, I want why is it that they're not adding the 37s?
Yeah.
Right. If they can, if the vehicle can do it and fits and it works, why are they not doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I would put like, it would, if somebody's buying a vehicle to be an off-road vehicle and you're like, here, I'm selling it with these all-terrain 35s and somebody's going to be like, okay, that's cool. Here's some used 35s on the market now because I drove it the 10 miles from the shop, you know, from the dealership to my house mm-hmm. and I already put the 37s on. It's like, you know, why not sell them with 37s and make a few more bones?
That's my question as well, because my first thing I'm going to do when I get my Bronco is I'm taking the 35s off with mm-hmm. the beadlocks and selling them on the used market and putting some 37s on. So,
right. So I think mm-hmm. that, I mean, I think we're beating a dead horse here, but yeah. you know, I think that they just need to state the, you know, put the biggest tires on.
Yeah.
Like what's, why
if
are you not?
If you say you can do it from factory, just do it.
Yeah. Prove it.
Prove it. Yeah. All right.
Absolutely.
So tire size. Mm-hmm. What about gearing? Is that a stat we should be looking after for extreme off-roading?
I think crawl ratio is for sure. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they need to necessarily specify what gears are, you know, I mean, it's interesting to hear and know, but the final crawl ratio is kind of what we're interested in, mm-hmm. you know, but I would be, you know, for like you and I, we want to dig in and be like, what is that first gear mm-hmm. ratio? What is the T case ratio? What is actually in the diffs? Mm-hmm. So I think to some extent, I mean, if for somebody that's like 488s, if you're getting 488s and 35s, you know, your max speed is going to be like, you know, 90 miles an hour or something, yeah. you know, you're going to be winding that thing out. So you're going to, of course, drop bigger tires on there. Mm-hmm. So I think that from Jeep to just, kind of that's they were able to, you know, easily squeak under what the Bronco did because of the diff gearing, mm-hmm. not an actual reduction gear inside True. The system, mm-hmm. you know. So I still think the Bronco has better gearing
because
you're going to go to, I don't, what is in the diff of the Bronco? Do you know?
411s, I believe.
410s.
Let me see.
Yeah. So as soon as you drop down to 456s, four 88s or whatever, somewhere around there, you mm-hmm. know, 530s, who knows? You know, that gear ratio is going to skyrocket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. So would you, if you're going to build a vehicle to come from the factory, do you think 488s is a good move, or do you think that Jeep should have just gone bigger because everybody in the aftermarket extreme off-roading is pretty much going with like 538s or 513s.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think that what the Bronco did by adding the underdrive gear
into the transmission
was the answer.
Okay.
I don't recall what their T case has in it, but I'm guessing it's somewhere around a 4 maybe 5 mm-hmm. reduction in it. And once you start getting into that territory, it's slow. Like if you're just doing fire road driving, mm-hmm. it's too slow. Mm-hmm. And so having a low gear in your reduction box, having a very low gear in your reduction box is kind of overkill.
In your T case,
yep. yeah. Mm-hmm. Is overkill if you're just doing fire road driving,
yep.
right? Like you only need like a 2-3 reduction. Uh-huh. So adding a very low gear in the transmission was a smart move because you still have your normal, let's say 1-3
fire road
yeah,
speed.
Well, your normal driving gears mm-hmm. on the road. And then you have a decent reduction in the T case.
Gotcha.
But then you also now have another reduction in your transmission mm-hmm. to go to that ultra low, you know, yeah. the underdrive.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that setup is actually a really smart setup compared to just lowering diffs.
I like that a lot. I was looking down here and at one of the articles, the Motor Trend one, the 456 gear ratio that comes in these, the regular Recon package, not the 488s, the 456, it says just slightly overcompensates for its 35-inch tires. So the engine revs actually rise by about 100 RPM at 60 miles per hour, relative to that of the standard Wrangler Rubicon on the 33-inch tires.
Right.
So 456s are actually going to raise your RPMs about 100 RPMs. Mm-hmm. The 488s are going to raise your RPMs
even more,
500 to 700, yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So you're absolutely right. By going deeper in the gears and the axles and the diffs, they're impacting
The drivability
on the road.
Yeah. The only solution to that is then just adding bigger tires.
Yeah.
Because that's, you're compensating your RPMs. You need the bigger circumference or diameter tire so that you can match like a speed, the RPMs for a tire. You know, that's in a way, that's sometimes how I talk to people about when somebody contacts me and goes, what gears should I be running in my differential? I go, what tire size are you going to run?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the conversation to be had. Mm-hmm. And so by going 488s are obvious. So if you're running 488s, 37s are probably going to, I'm just guessing,
right?
Well, they're going to be about 100 RPMs higher than where a normal Wrangler on 33s is.
Yeah.
You know, so you're running those higher RPMs, worse gas mileage, everything's running a little bit faster. So I really think the Bronco nailed it with adding that extra that lower drive. Yeah. I think that's a super smart idea.
Yeah. So would you take, and so if you're building a vehicle from a factory, you would kind of keep that 456, maybe 411 gearing and add the underdrive to the transmission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have, a 6/7 speed transmission, with a reverse, with having an underdrive, in there, and have somewhere like a 4.0 T case, and then have something like 430s, 456s in the diff.
Right in there. I like that. I like that setup combo a lot. What do you think should be the final drive ratio for something stock from the factory?
Yeah, capabilities. So I was thinking about that. What's crazy is we think our Toyotas, are gnarly because we're like 250 to 1.
Woohoo!
which is nice, but it would not be nice to drive down a trail if that's your only low gear.
Yeah.
I think that, the Wrangler has been doing, or the Rubicon, I'll go there. The Rubicon, because it has that 4 diff ratio, or excuse me, transfer case ratio, has been proven to be really well. It's been proven that sort of style works. And then that one ends up being like 88 crawl ratio, 88 to 1.
Yep.
So in that range seems fine.
Mm-hmm.
People use the Wrangler, the Rubicon for everything.
Yep.
So I think going to 100, is it really going to make that big of a difference? I don't know. I think that we're kind of finding that, I think slower would be nice, but there is a point when it's going to be too slow.
Yeah.
So I think that the 90 to 100 is a good area to be in.
I would pretty much agree with that. I'm looking at things more in terms of, my experiences, and I do a lot of wheeling with Jeeps and JKs and a few JLs. And it seems like the Jeeps that are set up with like 538s in the diffs and their 4-to-1 transfer cases and the transmission, everything, their final crawl ratio ends up being around the 115-to-1 mark. And it just seems like those Jeeps do things a lot easier and smoother than stock Jeeps around the 88 to 90. So,
right.
I think
that's rock crawling though.
That's rock crawling. Exactly. So that's my lens of the world is through rock crawling. So I'm like, do we really need 100? Like if we could, I like the idea of the underdrive, and if we can make that underdrive get to around 115 to 1, 110, 115 to 1, I just, for some reason, that seems like the sweet spot to me.
Yeah, I think that'd be actually pretty good, because then you still have, first gear.
Yeah.
right?
Uh-huh.
Which would be is going to be higher, you know, like, I don't know how much, you know,
first year would be around 70-1, 75-1, something like that.
And so if you need to go a little faster, then you can add, you take it out of the underdrive.
Mm-hmm.
I was just doing some very rough math, do you know what my first gear ratio is? I can't remember.
In the R151, mm-hmm. 4.3.
Oh, okay. So first gear,
mm-hmm.
low, in the four, and then in the 4.7,
okay,
with my 529s,
mm-hmm.
makes me 106.
Yeah, and that's a pretty sweet spot.
That's a good. I mean, I drive that down the trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of my most common gears. I'm often in second gear.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is even so that would be like somewhere in the 90s, probably.
Yeah.
So I think somewhere high 90s. To like 110, I think it would be a good crawl gear.
And
if you have that underdrive in the mm-hmm. transmission, you can always move up pretty easily. So I think that, yeah maybe up towards a 115 might be a high end, you know, but I think, somewhere in that range, over 100, I think, let's just say over 100.
Yeah.
I think would be a good ratio.
I agree. I think that's a good ratio because if you're at 106, you said,
mm-hmm.
that means I'm probably around 98. 97 in mine at the 3.7 first gear.
91.
So interesting. So I'm not even as low as what the Bronco, well, at the Bronco, what the Bronco would be. My Bronco is going to be lower than mm-hmm. my 4Runner until I put in the dual case. So
yes.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting to see. And the Bronco is going to have a lot more power and torque than the 4Runner as well. So
yeah. And that's another thing that goes into crawl ratio.
Is torque?
Well, yeah. Is torque out of the engine?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, absolutely. And so do they need to be that low mm-hmm. if you have the bigger engines?
Mm-hmm. It's a good question. So we'll have to play around with some bigger engines maybe. Because I mean the Rubicon, if you get the Rubicon 392 Recon... with that V8, I mean, you're going to be looking at 400, 450 foot-pounds of torque.
Mm-hmm.
Do you need that 100-1? Is that 100-1 with 450 foot-pounds of torque? Is that going to be too much torque? I don't know.
Yeah. Are you breaking stuff at that point?
Exactly. Who knows? So, I think it's a really interesting thing. I really like the idea of the underdrive. I didn't consider that as one of the solutions for attaining a crawl ratio.
Yeah.
And still having a vehicle that's good for the masses.
Yeah, there's a few old school transmissions out there, and I don't know what they are.
The NV4500 is the big popular one.
Is that it? That has like an underdrive mm-hmm. on it that's, you know, you just, and it has the granny gear, mm-hmm. you know, and you just pop it in this and it's super low.
Yep.
Yeah, see, some of those things are, I think those are, that's a very interesting solution to this problem.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So we beat that one to a dead, beat it into a dead horse.
Yeah, definitely.
Because we like gears and torques on this podcast. what about traction control stuff?
Well, I don't have any.
You don't? Yes, you do. You've got lockers.
Oh, okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Then yes, front and rear.
So should that be a stat that should be included in this?
I think so.
Because I think that we've too many times people have tried to compete with the Wrangler Rubicon. And
they only add a rear locker in.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think front and rear lockers should be in this list mm-hmm. of category to categorize something and part of this segment of extreme off-roading.
No, I agree. I think that, I mean, that should, if you're making an off-road rig, that should be standard.
I agree.
Front and rear lockers.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
So does that mean light bars should be standard too then? Or
apparently on the new Tundra.
Right. No, those come before lockers on the Tundra.
Yeah.
Right. Any locker.
Wah, wah. So yeah, I think that should definitely be there. Now the electronics, I don't, you know, I think a lot of that kind of is bells and whistles for me, but
are you talking about the electronic lockers or just electronics inside the vehicle?
Yeah, like snow control,
gotcha.
Sand control,
gotcha.
Mud control.
Torque vectoring.
Torque vectoring.
That's what that's called, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the A-track things are kind of cool. But those are primarily on the automatic setups because that's how they can control it. You know, where if you get one of the manuals like I have with Charlotte, I don't have any of those features in the rig.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's all the computer essentially reading the tone rings and figuring out when one wheel is spinning faster than another wheel, mm-hmm. and breaking that wheel to compensate for it.
Yep.
And so, yeah, I'm a big fan of lockers. If you're going to build an off-roading vehicle, you need to put lockers in it nowadays, mm-hmm. from the factory. We've been around. I mean, the FJ80 was one of the first vehicles to offer lockers front and rear, and that was 1991. So we are now 30 years beyond that, and we have two vehicles in the market that offer lockers front and rear, the Bronco and the Wrangler.
Right.
So, I think that lockers should be there for sure. What about water fording? Is that an extreme off-roading thing that you should take into consideration
when building somebody, a vehicle? It doesn't matter that much to me, because mm-hmm. I mean, we don't do a lot of river crossings. Mm-hmm. We have it on Ford Ice primarily,
yeah,
and a little bit on the Rubicon, mm-hmm. you know, but water depth isn't a concern for us, but it actually is in a lot of other places.
I agree.
Yeah. So, you know, to me, I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. That's interesting. But I think other places that is a bigger concern.
Now, if
what it does mean, mm-hmm. is that the computer and the electronics and the way that water might get into the vehicle is tucked up higher than mm-hmm. it is than other vehicles out there on the market.
Yeah.
You know, the vehicle's taller. The way that water can get in is taller. Uh-huh. Maybe the computer is tucked up higher in the dash, mm-hmm. right? Because in case water, you know, if water did get into the tub, then when is it going to start damaging the computer?
Yeah.
And these rigs have electronics going everywhere.
Yeah.
Right. So it is a concern. What would be interesting is to know or see what would happen if you added a snorkel to these things.
That was going to be my question.
Yeah.
So if you, yeah, how would that water fording stat change if you add a snorkel?
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I didn't mention it, but some of the water ingress would be concerned about the intake into the motor as well.
Yep.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. so adding the snorkel would change that drastically, because it now would be, you know, at the roof level, mm-hmm. or above.
Right.
You know, and so then
it's a matter of where do you package your computers, mm-hmm. in the vehicle?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'd be interesting. Water fording. I think it's a good stat.
I think it's an interesting stat, mm-hmm. but it's one of those, like, I'm not going to decide on which vehicle I'm going to buy because it has a slightly higher water fording.
So you're not going to take the Recon over the Bronco because it has 1/10 of an inch higher water fording?
No.
Okay.
I'll put bigger tires on it.
There we go. What about ground clearance?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But this is an interesting argument. Well, ground clearance for this one is the under the axles.
That's the lowest hanging fruit of the vehicle. Yep.
Yeah. And so I think that's definitely an argument, or, you know, something that's interesting. And I'm curious how the new Extreme Recon got so much more ground clearance out of it.
I am too.
So maybe they went with different axles. Maybe they put some curries under there or something.
Yeah.
But I think that this is an important stat just because it's telling you, like, how big of a rock could you just drive right over,
and not have any worries about.
And the more ground clearance, the less things that you have to worry about, you know, clearance wise. So mm-hmm. I think that's definitely an important stat.
So what I'm curious about this stat, I love ground clearance, right? Mm-hmm. I think that there's a difference between your pumpkin hanging down, having one thing that hangs down, and then the rest of the vehicle is at like 20 inches,
sure.
of ground clearance. But right. that one thing hanging down and that's in the center, you know where it can be, is 11.6 or whatever it is. That 11 point, the ground clearance number that comes from in this category is not as big of a concern to me.
Right.
Because if it's the pumpkin, that's that lowest hanging fruit, you can usually get another 6 or 7 inches out of it, right? Before your axle tubes are hitting or whatever it is. So I'm more curious about what is
the belly pan height.
The belly pan height or the axle tube height than the pumpkin height.
Yeah, I think the ground clearance and belly pan height are both ones that need to be stated.
I would agree.
Or frame height.
Yeah, maybe frame height is a good one. That would give you a really good indicator. Mm-hmm.
But I mean, belly pan height is interesting too, because then that, because most often like the T case hangs down mm-hmm. below the frame, mm-hmm. right? So that's sort of an, like if you were to put a skid plate, a flat mm-hmm. skid plate across the bottom, what would that height be?
Yep.
That's sort of what I would like to know.
So here's my next question.
Okay.
Should these vehicles that are going after the extreme off-roading market, should they come with good skid plates on them?
Yes.
So if you're building one of these vehicles to compete against each other, are you putting skid plates on them, or are you just kind of like...
I don't think they're doing it from the factory. I think that mm-hmm. would be an upgrade, but I think that they should.
You think they should from the factory? Mm-hmm.
I think that it should be an optional upgrade.
Okay. So like an extreme package.
Yeah. If it's like the top of the line, you know, the best of the best that has everything, you know, then it would have skid plates. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely. I agree. And good skid plates, mm-hmm. not
tin foil. Like,
yeah, whatever those 1/16th inch ones that come on the Tundra, the Tacoma's gas tanks.
Right.
Yeah, so I would agree. I think skid plates should be coming on a vehicle if you want to compete in the extreme off-road segment. And then, yeah, what is the belly pan height? I really like the measurement of belly pan height. And I think that a lot of people that design aftermarket suspensions, that's one of the stats they look at. Mm-hmm. What is their final belly pan height they want their vehicle to be?
Yeah.
Because that'll tell you a lot. I mean, if you're at, you know, 12 inch belly pan height, that's not a good off-road stat.
No, if your axle's 12.9.
Exactly. But if you're at, you know, 26 inch belly pan height, that's also not a good off-road stat. That puts you really
What's up. What's Kermit?
Kermit's 23, I believe.
Okay.
So like Kermit, in my opinion, Kermit's on the high end of what you would want your off-road belly pan height to be.
So Kermit, the belly pan, so that's from the ground to like the bottom of your T-case.
Correct. Okay. Yeah, where my skid plate is under my T-case. So it's like, I think that belly pan height is a stat that should
what
be
are,
looked at
what
in these
What are
vehicles.
Most J-case?
That's a good question. I think from the factory, most JKs, JLs from the factory, I want to say are around 18 to 19, which is a decent one. It's, in my opinion, a little bit low, but it means that you can do stuff in Moab very well.
Sure.
Because mm-hmm. you've got a lower center of gravity.
Right.
But, you know, if you're doing wheeling out in the Rubicon or Fordyce with big granite boulders everywhere, that's not enough, I don't
you
think.
You need rock sliders.
You need sliders and skid, yeah, exactly.
Skid plates.
Yeah. So I think belly pan height is a good one that should be in the segment.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Approach and departure angles, is that something you're very concerned about as yep. in this segment?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it really comes down to what's the steepest thing you can climb or come off of.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
And the more approach and departure angle you have, the steeper an object that you can just climb straight up.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
And you can always sort of twist and turn and figure your way up something, you know, hit mm-hmm. it at an angle. But this is, we're talking about just running into the wall and driving up it with two, you know, straight on with two tires on it. And, yeah. you know, that's the angle we're
climbing
talking about.
Back door.
Yes.
If you're going to climb back door, what do you need?
Yeah. Like 95.
Yeah. What about breakover angle?
Yeah, I think breakover angle is an interesting one. We were kind of, while we were talking about these stats, what needs to be stated then is what vehicle are they mm-hmm. using mm-hmm. for the breakover angle, right? Because in theory, they might be, I mean, it's probably the same, but they might be talking about the four-door version has these approach and departure angles, but the breakover angle yeah. is the two-door one.
Yeah.
You know, so what they need to specify is what vehicle was used uh-huh. or is being used for mm-hmm. what stat. Mm-hmm. But breakover angle is definitely an important one because you're going to climb over a rock, and what's the biggest rock that you can climb over, mm-hmm. you know, that's what it's telling you.
I agree. And this one's really interesting because this is the equalizer between long wheelbases and short wheelbases. And this will tell you just like what you said, how big of a rock can you go over mm-hmm. with your wheelbase?
Yeah, or how steep of a ledge.
How steep of a ledge, exactly. So I always tell people, you know, if you have a two-door vehicle, you can get away with a lot of the trails, almost all the trails in Northern California with 35-inch tires. Once you get into a four-door territory, you really need to be on, like for Fordyce especially, like four doors on Fordyce, you really need 38s, 40s. because there's just a lot of big rocks you have to go over. And mm-hmm. having a longer wheelbase, it does make you more stable. It makes it easier to climb, but it eliminates and takes away that breakover angle.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So I think breakover angle is a really important one, and knowing where that is.
Yeah. And so. To some extent, it goes right into belly pan height.
It does. Right? It's a combination of wheelbase and belly pan height.
Yep.
And so what I'm curious is, I've never actually like measured Kermit's breakover angle. I've never measured a four-door JK on 40s breakover angle. I've never measured a two-door TJ on 35s or 37s, what their breakover angles are, kind of what my reference points are for the trails around us. I know what I would tell people: if you have this, a two-door vehicle, you need to have this size tires, four-door, this size tires. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that translates to breakover angles. I've never measured it. So I'm curious as to what my reference points are compared to what the stats of the Recon and the Bronco are.
Right. So maybe instead of what model trim is being used for the breakover angle, what they need to tell us is what the wheelbase is. So they need to tell us both factors, because what we're is we're getting the break. I mean, maybe you could do the math and can work it backwards. Like mm-hmm. if I have this belly pan height and I have this breakover angle, I should be able to figure out what the wheelbase is. Mm-hmm. But just tell us what is the wheelbase. I don't think that's on this list and we didn't talk about it earlier, but mm-hmm. you know, I think wheelbase is an important number within this whole scheme of wheelbase, breakover angle, belly pan height, approach and departure angles.
Yep. So that pretty much does it for all the stats that they're listing and they're caring about in this mm-hmm. segment. But that brings an important one: wheelbase.
Yeah.
What about track width, WMS, right. mm-hmm. wheel mount surface measurements. So I think, you know, what are the thickness of your axle shafts, or what can your axle shafts, withstand? What are the forces that it can withstand?
Sure. I think that I think we're diving into it very deep because these are things that we're also interested in. I think the mass majority of the consumers of these vehicles would, you know, just want to know what the biggest tire they can fit on there without breaking something, right in line with this, but they're not mm-hmm. They don't care about what are the spline counts on my axle shafts?
Yeah.
You know, they're not caring about that. They just want to go, if I run 38 fives, am I going to break my axles?
Yeah, you know? True. I think that's a good point. And then that also goes to, you know, is this vehicle supposed to be marketed towards the mass consumers? Are they looking to try and sell as many of them as possible? Or are they just looking to go after the people like you and me that want something better than the JLs that are currently out, or the Bronco that's currently
out? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of JKs out there mm-hmm. and JLs out there and mm-hmm. fewer, but there are JTs out there.
There's a lot of people that take two-wheel drive vehicles and they're like, I just want it to look really aggressive. What's mm-hmm. the biggest tires I can put on them?
Yeah. And by the way that the market was around the release of the Bronco, mm-hmm. I think that, you know, it's safe to say that these are, you know, a mass consumer item mm-hmm. that, you know, people want to have, and more people want to have them and build them up and have them be pavement princesses mm-hmm. over actually wheel them down the Rubicon.
Yeah. It's like my Bronco. Yeah. It's going to be a pavement princess.
You know, I would like, let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Let's say 1 million, Rubicon, JKs were sold.
Okay.
How many of them do you think a trail like Deer Valley?
5%.
You think 5%?
5 to 10% would be my guess.
Yeah.
So what is that? 50 to 100,000 of them?
You think it's as low as 5?
I think it's as low as 5. I think that, yeah, based on what I see out on the freeways as I'm driving around, I see a lot of JKs, but I know when somebody uses their JK for off-roading purposes versus somebody just bought it and built it up to be a pavement princess.
Sure.
Like Sergeant Crush on Instagram, mm-hmm. pavement princess, doesn't go off-roading at all.
No.
But there's a lot of JKs out there, and I'm pretty sure I can tell which ones are being used and which ones aren't being used.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's always funny to me when I see a JK Rubicon on 38, 39, 40 inch tires running around with no winch and the stock bumper. The factory bumpers on
sure.
it. And I'm like, they don't use that at all.
No.
They just built it up to look rugged. And there's a lot of them out there. So, right.
And I would, I would go as far to argue, let's say it is 5%. Mm-hmm. Let's just, we're only guessing here.
Yeah,
right?
We're guessing totally.
Let's say it is 5%. I would say that the Jeeps are probably one of the most off-roaded or taken off-road vehicles on the market. Mm-hmm. I would say that the Toyota Tacoma is probably 1%.
I agree. I would agree with that.
You know?
I think, yeah.
And the Bronco is still going to, I don't think it'll be as high as the Jeep. I think more people look at going off-roading and think Jeep than any other thing on the market.
Yeah, I would agree with that currently. I'm really curious to see how that changes or turns out with the Bronco. How mm-hmm. many people are going to be buying a Bronco and not taking it off-roading mm-hmm. that are never going to put it in four-wheel drive?
I bet you it'll be the same or less than whatever the Jeep is. Mm-hmm. You know,
yep.
I think that, you know, there is a vast majority, you know, even if it's 50-50, mm-hmm. you know, 50% of all the vehicle or all the Jeeps sold never go off road.
Yeah.
You know, then that's still a crazy number to think about.
Yeah. Is it? Know? Yeah, that's true. So yeah. What's the point of putting all this R&D and lower gear ratios and underdrives in their transmissions for 5% of one segment sales?
Yeah.
It's an interesting thing, other than just to say, because I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's some sort of status symbol, I think, too.
Yeah.
You know, like I own a Jeep, I own an off-road vehicle, mm-hmm. and that means I'm an outdoors person.
Yeah. You know? Think so too. Yeah.
Even if your pavement princess goes to the mall and poses on curbs, uh-huh. you know, you still have this, a good life or whatever that sticker is on the back.
You still have your trail badges.
You still have your trail badges.
We're going to get into that next
episode. You can't get your trail badges unless you go on the trail though.
True.
So, but yeah, I think that, you know, is it even worth it to, you know, obviously it is because people are buying them. Jeep's yep. an amazing selling vehicle. The Tacoma is an amazing selling vehicle, mm-hmm. you know, but I think that's also why almost all the rigs coming out are having IFS because the vast majority of the vehicle or the purchasers mm-hmm. don't use it like we would use it.
Yeah.
Right. They drive it around and want to go down fire roads mm-hmm. and want to have comfort
mm-hmm.
over the capability of a yeah. vehicle.
I would agree. And on that bombshell, if you guys have any feedback, anything that you'd like to add to the episode, definitely write us in, call us. I think this is a really, really interesting topic. That this is one that Jimmy and I love to just sit down and just BS about and talk about what could be, right? What could be and what should be. We can do that because, you know, why not? Because I can. So write in, call us. 916-345-4744 is the phone number. You can call, leave a message. You can text us at that phone number as well. You can get us on Instagram at snailtrail4x4 and 4x4 Toyota Tyler. And you can also get some good emails in. So if we get some good emails about topics that we've done, we love reading them. And sometimes, you know, if they're good enough and we remember to, we'll read them out on the podcast too and kind of answer them if it'll go into another conversation. So shoot us emails. You guys have those. Anything else, Jimmy?
Nope.
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 Nope. All right, man. Have fun in Belize. Do you have any final words for everybody?
There's a hot sauce factory in Belize right near our hotel.
That's dangerous. And with that, my friends, keep growling.
You're on.
I'm on, bro. Broseph.
I got one for you.
I'm ready.
What is the king of all tools?
The king of all tools. The Puerto Rican socket set.
Nice. No.
Oh. What is it?
The ruler.
Oh. I guess so. I like my answer better. Ha ha ha.